Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be seated. It can be a dangerous thing to not know the situation you're in. For example, if you are in the path of a flood or a tornado and don't know it, that's a dangerous thing. Or if you have cancer growing inside your body and don't know it, that's a dangerous thing. If you are on a flight with someone who has Ebola and don't know it, that's a dangerous thing. To not know these things can be a matter of life and death. Well, that was the situation of the Pharisees in the Holy Gospel that we heard today. And it is, in fact, the situation of many people in our world today. And this really is a matter of life and death. Your eternal life and death. For the Pharisees, as we heard, thought they were free. They told Jesus, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone." I guess those 400 years in Egypt and 70 years in Babylon really didn't count. But leaving that aside for now, for these Pharisees themselves in their lifetime, though subject to the occupying Roman authorities, they weren't slaves. They could mostly do what they wanted and come and go as they wanted, mostly. And many people today believe the same thing. We are free. We sing it in our national anthem. We abolished slavery in this country 150 years ago. And we work against it around the world. And even more than that, we are not only free in this institutional kind of sense. Most would assert that we are each personally and individually free, having free will. We are in control of our lives. We are the masters of our domain. We are enslaved. We are bound to no one and no thing. But to think that is a dangerous place to be. For while it's true on a certain level, like you chose what clothes to wear today and what cereal to eat for breakfast and what car to buy, and you do have free will in all those kinds of things, you do not have free will when it comes to spiritual matters. Not by nature. Not since that day Adam and Eve fell and plunged not only themselves, but the whole world into bondage to sin. You're not the exception. As St. Paul said, there is no distinction. There is no difference. It's not that some were born this way and some were born that way. Some were born good and some were born bad and some were born neutral. No. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if that's you, if you sin, Jesus said you are a slave. A slave to sin. And that is true whether your name is Abraham, or you are a first century Pharisee, or a 21st century American, or a little 16th century monk named Martin. You see, that's what Luther first realized. The situation he was in, that he was a slave to sin. That all those things he was being told to do, and told that he should do, and told that he could do, if he just tried hard enough, he couldn't do. And the harder he tried, the worse it got. The more he looked at himself, the more he examined himself, the more he confessed, the more he saw his sin. He couldn't stop it, and he couldn't get around it. It was that tornado tossing him about that he couldn't get away from. It was that cancer growing within him that he couldn't cut out. They told him he was free, but he knew the truth. And it was far different from that. He was in bondage, a slave to sin. And so are you, and the person next to you. And that's why you sin. You're not a sinner because you do sins. You do sins because you're a sinner. It's who you are. That's why you sin, even though you don't really want to. You want to do what's right, but you don't. You make promises, and you want to keep them, but then you don't. You lash out, and then you hate yourself for it. You doubt and worry when you know you shouldn't. You covet and lust, and then you have this weird paradox within yourself that these things that you're proud of about yourself, you know, are lies. You want to believe you're a good Christian and you want others to believe that about you. You know it's not true. That underneath your proper, buttoned-down, good-looking appearance is a filthy, rotten, putrid, maggot-infested cesspool of a sinner. Yes, you stink. And the stench wafting from the pulpit is the same. Now, it may not be pleasant to know that or acknowledge that, but it is dangerous not to know that. To be so fooled and deceived and blind and so die in your sin, physically and spiritually, and so be that slave forever. So while it may not be pleasant, it is good to know that. And then to hear this too. There's freedom for you. Slavery is your beginning, but it need not be your end. For St. Paul said, the righteousness of God, or the freedom from sin that God wants you to have, the righteousness of God has been manifested. It happened for the whole world, apart from the law, apart from what you do or can do. The righteousness of God, or again, the freedom of God, is through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Or Jesus put it this way, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That is what the Reformation was all about. Telling the truth about the situation we're in and then pointing to the solution. Pointing not to yourself and your efforts and your doing, but pointing you outside yourself, away from yourself, to Jesus. For if you are to be free, He's the only one who can set you free. Free from slavery to sin, free from fear of death, free free from the bond of the grave, free from the oppression of the devil, free to live as the child of God you are. For if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And so the Reformation was not about doing, it was about receiving. Receiving this work of Jesus as a gift. That here it is for you. And so baptism is the Son setting you free. Washing you clean from your sin. Breaking those bonds that you were born with. And raising you in Jesus' resurrection to a new life. Here it is for you. And the absolution is the Son setting you free. Proclaiming and promising to you the forgiveness Jesus earned for you in His death and resurrection. And beating back the enemy who is seeking to enslave you in your sins again. Here it is for you. And the Gospel is the Son setting you free. All those stories you hear in Scripture, they're about you. You're the leper who's cleansed. You're the deaf who can hear. You're the blind who can see. You're the dead who are raised. Here it is for you. And the supper is the Son setting you free. Feeding you with the medicine of immortality. The body and blood that died and rose and cannot die again given to you. That though you die, you too live forever. Here it is for you. Here is Jesus for you. Here is life and forgiveness for you. Here is freedom for you. Here, for you, here. That's what the Reformation was all about. And so the baptismal liturgy proclaimed that again. And all that had been added to it over the years that obscured what was really happening there, stripped away. And the absolution was again joyously announced as the good news that it is. And all that talk of merits and satisfaction and your having to do it exactly the right way or it wouldn't work or it wouldn't work as well as it should, silenced. And the gospel was preached. Jesus, not saints, not works, not as an example, but as your Savior. And the supper was given to sinners. Yes, to sinners. You didn't have to make yourself worthy to receive it. It made you worthy. For here is the forgiveness and life you need. Take and eat and drink. It's for you. These gifts for you, and they're still for you. Unworthy you, sinner you, whatever you've done. It's really that simple. But it's also that important. For now, as always, the devil is constantly tempting us to believe that religion is about what we do. That yes, Jesus died for you. Everybody knows that. But that's in the past. What matters now is what you do. That you change and you be better. And you be the Christian that God really wants you to be. And if the devil can get you to focus on that, on yourself and what you do, then he's well on his way to driving you away from your past tense Jesus. Either in despair, because you'll never be able to do that and give up, or in pride, thinking that you have done it and therefore really don't need Jesus anymore. Don't fall for it. Know the situation you're in. That yes, you're a sinner, but you have a Savior. That's such a simple message, and yet we keep messing it up. We keep thinking there must be something more to it than that. It can't be that easy or that good. Well, it wasn't easy. It took a cross and death. But it is good. For all God does is good and perfect and for you. He's not doing any of this for himself. He doesn't need it. But you need it. He's doing it for you. Because you need his love. You need his gifts. You need his life. You need him. And here he is for you. Now, will that have an effect on your life? And how you live and what you do and what's important to you and how you invest your time and energy? Well, of course. Not because it's what you're doing, that you're changing or you're getting better or you're being the Christian God wants you to be, but because through these gifts, Jesus and his forgiveness and life are now living in you. Because you've been set free from that old, horrible master of sin and now live under a new, better, good, and loving master. A saving one. And how can that not change things? Change everything. And everything in your life. Indeed, it does. And that little 16th century monk, he just wanted everyone to know that. That freedom, that life, that love, that gift. He didn't try to start a movement, never wanted a church named after him, and really didn't think of himself as anything else but a beggar before God like everyone else. He just preached the forgiveness of Jesus. But it's that forgiveness that makes all the difference in the world. It started a reformation. But not one that just happened to start 500 years ago. But the one that started when Adam and Eve heard those words. When Abraham heard those words. When David heard those words. When Jesus did those words. And when you hear those words. The absolution, the gospel, the supper, still today. That forgiveness changes things. For that word is strong and powerful. Still today, making sinful beggars like you and me, children of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.